Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Awesome, man. This is pretty cool. I thought we'd probably have enough people to kind of move everybody to one section of the church today. but God is faithful. Good morning. My name is Leonard Small. I'd like to welcome you to Journey Church for those first time visiting us for the first time. Inside of your church bulletin, you see this white slip of paper. If this is your first time, change of address, prayer request, go ahead and fill it out. We're going to be receiving our offering here in a second. And Levi was saying something, and it is true. I have to back up what he said. Is, you know, we have this awesome privilege of coming to God at any moment. And if you sit and read the scriptures, that wasn't so. I mean, you couldn't just come into the presence of God. I mean, you had to be born into the right family. It had to be your time to, you know, it had to cast lots, and it was just this system where people that went into God's presence, you know, was an honor, was a privilege. I mean, it was like a once-in-a-lifetime thing where you can go behind the veil and come into God's presence. And here it is. We are so spoiled. We have just complete access to the holiest of holies. We just have, you know, when Jesus died, it said the veil was torn, and the curtain, that thing that separated God and man, was just abolished. And now we can just freely come back and forth in the presence of the Lord at 9 o'clock, right? Amen. So now we're going to go ahead and receive our offering. Today we're going to be praying for just this, you know, just the strength to continue to do what we do as a church in the midst of change, because we're going to move to another part of town. And it's challenging. Change is challenging. I'm not going to say it's easy, but it is challenging. So let us go ahead and pray. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for your many blessings, Lord God. This beautiful privilege we have as the church to just come into your presence, Lord, and just worship you in spirit and in truth, unencumbered by a lack of not being born in the right time and the right place and the right family. But we're born of the Spirit. And being born of the Spirit, we have that right. And so, Lord, we thank you for it. And now we also want to come to you, Lord God, and ask that you continue to give us strength and courage to get past our preferences and all these things that keep us from fellowshipping and being the unified body of Christ in the midst of change, whether it's time change, location change, that we remain faithful to the thing you called us to do. Pray for this offering, Lord God, for the building of your kingdom. We ask that you give us wisdom on how to spend your money in a way that will be pleasing unto you. These and many blessings we ask in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look inside your church bulletin. Some things I want to point out. The over 50s get together. There they go. Over 50s. They'll be meeting March the 6th. That's Friday at 6:30 p.m. here at Journey. We also have Trinity Rescue Mission coming up March the 10th. And also, there will be a partnership class being held on Sunday, March 15th at 6 p.m. for those who want to learn a little bit more about Journey. And also, you'll see this big fluorescent green thing inside of your church bulletin. So to catch your attention, they got some things they need for the mission trip to Guatemala, some items that they would love to bless somebody in that country with. God bless. Right now, I'm going to invite up Roxanne. She has some other announcements.
You want to come up? Oh, good morning. I wanted to let you know some things coming up with the women. It's funny because the title of our book we're studying is Keep It Shut. And what to say, how to say it, and when to say nothing at all. So, that's right. So, none of us have arrived, and we're all striving to be more like Christ, and so I want to invite all of you women to join us. It's going to be a great time to dive into the Word of God, to meet one another, pray with one another, and grow. So we're offering that on Tuesday evenings here and on Wednesday mornings in Mandarin, and there's a sign-up sheet outside by the front doors. If you forget to sign up, you can email us. It's all in here, okay? The one on Wednesday starts this week, and otherwise it's Tuesday the 10th. Okay. Oh, and I will email you about how to get a book and a study guide. We've ordered them at Lifeway, and you'll need to pick them up, but I will send you an email. The second thing is, single moms, I am talking to you right now. I have been really burdened for our single moms here in our church family. And the word that I just hear over and over is overwhelming. Overwhelmed with a lot of things, financially, parenting, stress. And so I really felt like we should do something for our single moms. And so we're going to have a night. We're going to have dinner for you at Marion Cook. And is she in here? She might be volunteering in the back. And then we're going to have childcare for your children here. So I just encourage you, just come. We want to pray for you and encourage you and just build into your life. So equip you in your walk as a single mom. And there's a sign-up sheet for that also. And then two other things. We have two families in need of meals right now. And if you're not on Facebook, you wouldn't know this. So one is Valerie Brown. She always sits right over here. And she's been in the hospital. And she's home now, so she could use some meals. And also Angie and Brendan Johns had a baby. And so we would like to bless them with some meals. So if you're not on Facebook and you want the info, come and see me. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, babe. Sorry. I'm getting hands full. I'm not going to say anything about the title of that study, okay? Because I'll get myself in trouble. I just will. So, but I think it'd be great for all the women to come. helping my brothers out a little bit. I knew I shouldn't have said anything. Well, good morning. Great to see all of you this morning. I really didn't know what to expect. I really didn't. 9 a.m. comes early for some. Some of you love the time change, probably, because we're done a lot earlier and when it gets nicer and when you can head to the beach and do things like that. Today is not one of those days, so maybe we'll just stay till about 1. No. There's another group coming in behind us. How many churches are there in Jacksonville? And anybody remember what the church is? It's the... Wow, you guys are getting good. It's the family of God living on mission. So why do we move our service to 9 a.m.? Some people still didn't get that memo. It's because we have some brothers and sisters, part of the family, who had their meeting place kind of taken away from them and had to move. They were getting displaced. And so they are actually going to be taking over our lease when we move out. And so we decided to shift our service a little bit earlier so that they could have their service at 11:30. And so they'll be coming in behind us. And we just felt like sacrifice is good for us at times. You know, God has blessed us immensely. And he doesn't bless us so we could just be comfortable and hoard. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing. And we are getting ready, Lord willing, to move in the next couple of months over to a new facility on Beach Boulevard. And I'll give you a little update here. It's been a little while, so I'm going to show a couple pictures of this new facility. If you'll throw the first one up. They about have the roof on. So this is the back half. So we have an existing facility. This is looking out the back door into what the new facility is. And there'll be a second floor on most of that. And it's going to be kids' classrooms, adult classrooms. There's a multi-purpose room and a big cafe there. And so they're about getting close to drying it in, and so hopefully the progress will continue and speed up a little bit. The next picture kind of shows from the outside. Again, you see the existing building. That will be the entrance. This is from the back side of the parking lot. And then on the interior of the existing building, we're doing some work, and you can throw this picture up. We're turning the gymnasium into what will be a gymnasium and auditorium, so that's the new stage that's being built. So I want to invite you to come up anytime we have a work night. And we've been doing those on Wednesdays, but we're going to shift those. So we'll be doing them at different times. You'll see different days. And it really doesn't matter how skilled you are. There's cleanup. There's paint. There's all different kinds of things to do. We'll teach you how to do some things. But it's a great opportunity to come out and just serve, get to know one another, and be a part of just helping transform the space. But I just wanted to show those and just remind us, you know, we're extremely blessed. And I haven't gotten up here, and no one's gotten up here and browbeated you for money or anything like that. But I want to ask you, please pray. You know, have you been praying about this? You know, we do need money, okay? okay? I mean, it does take money to do things like this, and God's blessed us and provided, and so we're doing fine in that area, but the reality is there's costs involved. And when I look at this, and you know, it could be easy to get stressed out about a lot of that, and I'm just reminded of in Matthew 16 where Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." He's been building that. We've experienced it over the last 7 years. And now he's moving us in the church, as we said, the family of God living on mission. He's moving us to a new place. And, you know, I look at it, there's some of it where I go, man, this is going to be weird. Like, all of us will move over there and we'll have more space. So does that mean more people are going to join us? I don't know. That's not our goal. Our goal is to make disciples who make disciples, to follow Jesus. And hopefully as we do that, more people come into the kingdom. But this isn't about, you know, a bigger space for more people. When I look at it, it's a bigger opportunity to make more disciples. And when I think about the impact we're able to have around the world, I look and say, God, give us a greater opportunity to show your love to people in need, to bless people who have a lot less than we do, to send other leaders and church planters to plant churches all around this city, congregations that we'll walk together with. And so I just want to encourage you, please be praying for the finances, you know, that God provides everything that we need. Please pray for this to not become a distraction in any way. Pray for us to keep our focus on really what matters and keeping first things first. And then for God to accomplish all that he desires as we make this move, okay? And I appreciate that. And if he moves your heart to write a check for $500,000, then do that too, okay? That'd be fantastic. But we have been, you know, we've been talking about in this series, living on mission, okay? Engage, equip, empower. You know, we all are on this journey in life, and God is calling us to himself, and we take that first step in engaging in a relationship with him. And as we do that, we engage with relationships with those people around us, and we need to be equipped to do the things that God's called us to do. And then we talked last week about the fact that he's empowered us by his Spirit to go and be his witnesses. And so as disciples, we should realize, or we need to realize, there's more to life than what the eye can see, okay? How many of you were here last week, okay? Shame on the rest of you. No, I'm just kidding. No, if you were here last week, we talked about this, the reality of the kingdom, and I showed a video. If you weren't here, I would encourage you, Google video. Just all you have to do is Google brother of martyred Coptic Christians, or, you know, we showed a video of an interview with one of the brothers who had two of his brothers martyred in Egypt. You know, they were two of the 21 that were killed for their faith. And when we showed that video, to hear him share about how they've forgiven, they found it inside themselves to forgive those who killed their family members. And when he asked his mother what she would do if she saw someone from ISIS on the street, and she said, "I would thank them first for ushering my children into the kingdom of heaven, and I'd invite them in, and I would pray for them for their eyes to be opened." And I mean, it's just unbelievable when you hear this and see the reality of the kingdom in some people's life. It's like, you know, this world we live in, this is real, right? And the struggles we have are real, but there is a kingdom that is beyond this. There's something more, and they have this view of it. It's just captured their hearts to where, I mean, you didn't even sense sorrow. You sense more joy, and it just challenged me. And I go, God, why is it for us? You know, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest." But yet a lot of times in the church, it's like, man, we're tired, we're weary, and we don't have that rest because the things of this world weigh us down. And so we have to have an understanding of his kingdom. Now, some of you who are maybe new to the whole, your walk with God, and all this is new to you, and this kingdom talk might be something very different. Think of it like this. We all face the reality of our own mortality. Okay, we're all going to die, right? I know there's all these hopes. I saw an article this week where they said they were 2 years away from head transplants. Okay? That's what it said. Now, I don't know who's gonna how they're going to test that or whatever, but I just don't think it's happening. I'm not going to rely on that one. In fact, I don't know that I want anyone else's body. You know, that's just weird thought, you know. So we're all going to die. The question is, what happens when we die? Now, God's word tells us that there's eternal life that's awaiting all of those who put their faith in Jesus. And God invites us to take part in that eternal life here and now. We don't have to wait till we die. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, and we're going to go through a big chunk of scripture out of 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. But Paul writes, beginning in verse 13, a little bit about this. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Let's pray. God, help us to understand the reality of your kingdom. God, what life and death really means in light of our relationship with you. And God, may we leverage this life and every breath we have for your kingdom and for your glory. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Paul says, we believe, therefore we speak. He says, we know that the one who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Okay, this is a real thing that will happen. Jesus raised from the dead. And the same one who raised Jesus will raise us and present us together to the Father. So Paul's going, this is what's going to happen. We know it. We believe it. We understand it. Heaven is for real. And it's not just because some kids said he went there and they made a movie about it. All right? That's great. You know, if you want to watch it, that's fine. But that's not why I believe heaven is for real. Okay, I believe it because the scripture testifies of it. Jesus came and he announced the kingdom of heaven, said that he would not only usher in the kingdom of heaven here, but that he was going, he would go to a place, prepare a place for us. He died, he rose from the dead, and he said, now I am going to leave you, and I'm going to leave you with my spirit so you will not be alone, but you will come and be with me. All right, and so we have that, the witness of Jesus, as well as the miracles in his life and the reality of the resurrection. And people say they've gone there and they've seen the light and people have gone to hell and all these things. And I don't know if any of that's true. But I do know that Jesus lived, died, rose from the dead. I believe that, not just because I read it in scripture, but like we talked about last week, his spirit comes inside those who put their faith in him. There's something that happens inside a person. Scripture refers to it as being born again, changed from the inside out. It's not that you're a Christian because you believe in a set of rules or some kind of theology or system of religion. We are Christians. As we engage in that relationship with him, our lives are changed, and his spirit testifies with our spirit. This thing is real. How can a group of people who have their loved ones killed find it in their heart to forgive, and not only forgive, but to go as far as to thank them? Either they're totally delusional or crazy, or they've experienced something beyond this world. And so Paul says, we believe and we speak and we know that the same one who raised Jesus from the dead is going to raise us, and he's going to present all of us to him. Verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. So Paul says, we know this is true. Jesus was raised, will be raised. And he says, but we don't lose heart. Because we know there's something more to life. Even though we go through struggles, and we will. Because though our outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Okay? Outwardly, we are wasting away. Reality is, we all get old. age, gravity takes its toll, okay? Things sag and you get old, okay? I know the over 50s are partying and they're looking at me with a funny look right now. But that's the reality. And, you know, we have this season of youth and some of us want to stretch it as far as we can. And we stretch it, whoops. And we stretch it in all kinds of ways, right? And so we try to extend that season. But the reality is, outwardly, we're wasting away. And one day it's going to come to an end here. But inwardly, it says inwardly we're being renewed day by day. But that takes effort on our part. And so I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you. Are you being renewed day by day by His Spirit? Scripture says His mercies are new every morning. He's there for us, just waiting for us to come to Him for strength, for comfort, for peace, for the life that He offers so that we can go and live life to the full and have life to give other people. Inwardly being renewed, although outwardly we're wasting away. But we were never intended to live this life alone, okay? We said earlier, the church is it's the family of God living on mission, right? We need one another. God created us that way. When you go back to the story in Genesis, God made everything and He goes, it was good, it was good, it was good. And He makes man in His image. It's good, but then He says, it's not good that man should be alone. And so He makes woman, a partner for Him. We were created to live in community. We need one another. When we isolate and are alone, that's when we find ourselves in a bad place. That's when the enemy will tempt us. That's when we find ourselves vulnerable. So we need one another. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man or woman sharpens one another. Okay, we sharpen each other. We strengthen one another. It's a process. None of us have arrived. The theological term is sanctification. We're all growing in our relationship with God. We're moving toward Him. He's stripping things out of our lives. He's putting things into our lives. It's a process that we'll go through until the day we go to be with Him. So knowing that and being gathered as the church, the family of God, living together on this mission, I want to remind us of a couple things. We've said from the beginning, a journey, church, this gathering of believers, I want to make sure we always remember this. Everyone is welcome in this place, okay? For God so loved who? The world, right? That's pretty much all-encompassing, okay? He loves everyone, regardless of our stuff. And we all have stuff. We all had stuff. God forgives us. He delivers us. Everyone should be welcome through those doors. Not just welcome like, okay, we'll let them in, okay? But welcomed and loved. And they should feel the love of God through us. I mean, that's how He manifests His love. It's through people. And so don't rely on the people at the doors to say good morning and give a hug. I mean, the church is a family of God living on mission. Keep that in your mind. Keep that in your heart. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. You have love to give to people. And that's what life is all about. Okay? So this is a place where everyone should always be welcome. Not just that, everyone is needed. Okay? Paul refers to the church as a body made up of many parts. And it doesn't matter what role you play, what part you are, every part is necessary. If a part of my body is missing, I'm going to be pretty bummed out, okay? If a part of my body stops functioning correctly, that's no fun. You go to the doctor, you try to get that fixed, right? See, all of us are needed for the church to be all that God designed and desires for it to be. So again, you don't rely on the people in leadership positions. Oh, they'll take care of that. They'll be the ones who lead the small groups. They'll be the ones who share meals with people in need. No, we're all needed, okay? Everyone should be welcome. Everyone's needed. Everyone's invited to take part. But here's the last one, and this is just as important as the first two. Everyone must be transformed, okay? See, Paul talks about being renewed day by day. And everyone should be welcome. God loves us just as we are. But he loves us too much to leave us like that. All right? So we all need to be transformed. Not just once when we cross that line of faith and you put your trust in Jesus for your salvation. Okay, there's a change that takes place. But man, you might have 20, 30, 40 years of life that now you got to kind of sift through and work through. And you've got to have that renewed even day by day in your relationship with God. Even though Scripture says you're a new creation when you cross that line, the old is gone, all things are new, I'm changed on the inside, but man, I still got stuff that I've got to deal with. You know, people wound you, and all of a sudden I come into a relationship with Jesus, it's not like all of a sudden everything is great. And I have this overwhelming, gushing love for those people who just, you know, tore me apart. No, maybe for you, but that wasn't the way it was for me. And so now you encounter a person like that and you go, God, I need you today to help me to honor you in the way that I deal with this, to show forgiveness and love. And so that's part of that process of being transformed. And again, this doesn't happen just on Sunday mornings. It's not from the pastor or the preacher preaching a message. This is as brothers and sisters in this thing, the family of God, walk together, share love with one another, are there for one another to walk through difficult times and struggles. And so that's why we do things like connection groups and encourage people toward small groups or taking part in ministries. And we'll do everything we can to make those times available to you, but you've got to take that step and get engaged. You got to make time in your schedule to do that, to build those relationships so that we can grow together. Because we live in a world that is not very kind, and it's becoming less and less tolerant of our faith and our moral convictions. And we could sit there and go, man, yeah, we've got to get in and we've got to do this. We've got to change the system and get in the government and all that stuff. And if God's called you to that, that's great. I just question whether that's the best use of our time sometimes. You know, trying to transform the system. When God says, transform the person. See, and as you're transformed, and then you walk with people, and then you bring transformation into other people's lives as you walk with them. And as people are transformed, listen, systems will be transformed. But man, sometimes we burn up so much time and so much energy on these things. And God's going, man, I've given people to you right there in your sphere of influence to walk with, to share that love with. And who knows what child you teach back there is the next politician or pastor or leader in our community. Who knows? Pour into the lives of the people that God's put around you and then see what he does. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. Paul says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. Paul calls our troubles, our struggles in this life, light and momentary. But I want to make sure we realize he's not trying to minimize those things. Okay, the struggles that we have, the struggles that you walked in with today are real. And I don't want to minimize them, and I don't think Paul's trying to minimize them. But what he's saying is, listen, there is a world beyond this world that you cannot forget exists. And the struggles that we experience today, they are temporary. God's kingdom is eternal. Jesus was raised, we will die, we will be raised, we will be with him. That's reality. Paul's trying to make sure we understand that. I don't think he's trying to minimize our struggle, and I don't want to do that. Okay? Because your struggle is real. Whatever you walked in here with, whatever you're dealing with, maybe that process of sanctification I talked about, you know, you're still walking through forgiving some people who maybe wounded you very deeply in the past. I think God cares about that. I think God's compassionate about that. I think of Jesus with Mary and Martha, and they're basically accusing Jesus of allowing their brother Lazarus to die. And they say, if you would have been here, he would have lived. And they're emotional. And it's where we find that little verse, right? Jesus wept. And Jesus is God in the flesh. And so God wept when people he loved were going through a painful, difficult time. And so I just want you to hear that this morning. If you're going through a difficult, painful time, you know, it's real easy sometimes to point our finger at God because we don't understand. You know, Isaiah says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We don't see the big picture. It's so easy at times to be tempted to blame God. But I want you to hear this morning. If your heart's broken, God's heart's broken over that as well. And he weeps over that. Because God never intended or desired for us to live in this broken world that we live in. I was sitting with my son, Jonathan, who's 8 years old, and he has a reading assignment, and he has to read 30 minutes each night. And so this past week, we were looking for something to read, and I grabbed the Jesus Storybook Bible. Okay? If you never have seen that, you need to get the Jesus Storybook Bible. I don't care if you don't have kids, okay? Get the Jesus Storybook Bible, read it, and then pass it on to a grandchild or something like that. About 2 years ago, we gave one to everybody during Christmas time, and we kind of did a series when we walked through it. But it points all the Old Testament stories back to Jesus, and you see God's plan. So we decide to read the Jesus Storybook Bible, and we sit there, and we start, of course, in the beginning. So he's reading Genesis, and as he's reading God's creation and everything was good, and how he creates man in his image, and everything is given to them. And Jonathan stops, and he says, "Dad," I said, "Yeah, John." He said, "This sounds a lot like heaven." Okay, we're reading in Genesis. I said, "Yeah, it does, John." I said, God's plan from the beginning was for us to experience all of that. And it does sound a lot like heaven, because it is a lot like heaven. See, that's what God wanted for us all along. But Adam and Eve, they chose to rebel against God. And even though they did that, and sin entered the world, and he banished them from this beautiful, beautiful place, he didn't give up on them. He sent his son because he loves them. Why? Because ultimately he wanted them to be brought back to that place. See, that's the story. You know, and to sit there with my 8-year-old, it's like one of those little, you know, out of the mouths of babes. If we could just understand that on its deepest level, I mean, that's God's heart for us from the beginning. And we turned and sinned, and now death, disease, all the brokenness, all the pain that we experience was never what God desired in the beginning. But now if we'll walk through the process, okay, there's a time that's coming where we will be raised and presented before him. And that kingdom is very real. And we can be with him. But the struggle is real. And we need one another. And so I want to encourage you, be there for one another. As we walk through this, may this place never become a place where we all walk through the doors and where we walk through the doors and it's very impersonal, and we just walk in and we hear a good message and listen to some good music and walk out and then just go on with our lives. And the people that we're with don't impact our lives at all. That it's all about one Sunday morning experience or a Saturday night experience. The early church, they met together in the temple courts, but they met from house to house. They shared meals together. They shared the Lord's Supper in their homes. They remembered Jesus together. And they walked through difficult times together. And they loved each other through it. The struggles we have, they're light and momentary. They may feel heavy. God will lift that heaviness from us as we walk together. So we don't fix our eyes on what is seen. We fix our eyes on what is unseen. There's a kingdom. I mean, this life is going to end. We're going to die, some of us sooner than others. That's just the reality. But something happens after that. We've got to ask ourselves what, and once we find that answer, we go, all right, now what am I going to live for? Am I going to live for the stuff that's passing away, or am I going to live for that? And it's relationship and people that matter, not the stuff of life. See, Paul goes, okay, listen, just understand your struggles are only for a season. What's the worst thing that can happen to you in this life? What's the worst thing that can happen? You're scared to say it, right? you die, right? I mean, ultimately, that's the worst thing that can happen to us. But Paul goes, well, maybe not. He goes, that may actually be the best thing. If you understand this, look at 2 Corinthians 5, 1-5. He continues on. Now we know if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we'll not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Let's break this down. Look at verse 1. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. If we die, we have a building from God awaiting us. Okay? Death is not the end. It is the beginning. Something new. Life continues. You may breathe your last breath on this earth, but we continue to live. And the decisions we make on this earth impact that. Whether we put our faith and trust in God or not will determine what happens when we breathe our last breath. Okay? We'll all face judgment. And so that applies to all of us here, but applies to everybody out there. And so God's love and compassion is extended to them, and our love and compassion should be as well, because there's people all around us who are dying without Jesus. And according to the scripture, if they die in that state, they will be separated from God for eternity. And rather than point the finger at people and tell them they're going to hell, our hearts should break over the fact that there are people who are separated from God and need to know his love and grace that we've all found. Verse 2, meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we're clothed, we'll not be found naked. See, we groan. We struggle here on this earth. I mean, it's like there is this struggle. We want something more. Even after we come into a relationship with Jesus, and we go, man, you know, there's this message like Jesus is the, you know, the pill that will cure everything in life. He bridges the gap in our relationship with the Father, and we are, as we said earlier, born again, changed from the inside out, but life's still hard. And I need to work on that relationship with him every day, and I need to invite him into that space where I'm struggling. But the reality is, heaven may be real, but we don't experience it always right here and now. So we struggle between flesh and the spirit, all of these things, these battles that we face. And so that's what Paul's describing here. We're longing for that heavenly dwelling. Whether we realize it or not, there's an ache inside of us for something eternal. That's why when we see something where we pray for something and there's an answer, it's like we experience this little bit of heaven on earth. It's the kingdom of God just breaking out in our midst. And it happens, and it gives us that little taste, and that's what causes us to continue on. And I hope that we all experience that and are moved more and more toward him and understanding and seeing that which is eternal as opposed to what's temporary. Look at verse 4. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. See, we'll experience death, but then basically Paul calls the death here life. See, what is mortal, all the struggle, all the stuff we face in this temporary world will one day be swallowed up by life. A place where there's no more pain, no more tears, no more death, no more struggle. Verse 5, now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. God made us for this very purpose. We were made to be with him. It's like me sitting with my little boy going, John, that's what God wants for you. That's what he wanted for you from the very beginning. And so we put our faith in Jesus, and that's what is awaiting us. He's given us his Spirit guaranteeing that. We're marked by his Spirit, his sons and daughters adopted into his family, the family of God living on mission. And one day to be there with him, see him face to face and all this stuff of the world fading, the pain, the struggle. And I just want to say, if that becomes a reality to us, okay, if we can look our mortality in the face, so to speak, the reality that we're going to leave this earth, man, some of the petty struggles we have, I think we'll just go a little bit, you know, by the wayside. The grudges we hold, the lack of forgiveness at times. Listen, time is short. Deal with those things now so that you can live out the very purpose of God, experience that life, and bring that life to other people. Every breath we have is a gift from Him. Every breath. We talked last week about being filled with the Spirit and being His witnesses here on this earth. His Spirit fills us. His Spirit will lead us into peace. He will comfort us. He'll lead us into truth. He'll bring healing where He needs to bring healing. It says that He, at times, speaks to us and reveals things that need to be revealed so that we could live what we're talking about. We could live it out here on this earth. See, when people look at us, they shouldn't look at a group of Christians who believe some testimonies in a book. They should look at us and see people who have life, people who live like those who were martyred over in Egypt, and they go, man, that's otherworldly. I mean, the fact that these people love and forgive the very people who took the lives of their family, how does that happen? Because Jesus is alive and something is different inside of them. And they're living for a world that's beyond this world, but yet real. Antoine, if you'll come on up. I'm going to wrap up. Our days are limited here. And my encouragement to all of us is that we would use them wisely. We would walk together. We would love one another. We'd forgive one another. We would understand that the people who hurt us, the people who are very different from us, the people who we would say bring evil into this world, it's my hope that we would understand, as the scripture says, that they are blinded by the God of this world, and so they don't have the Spirit of truth, but Jesus died for them as well. And our hearts would break for them as God's does, because He wants them to be with them. Ephesians 5 verses 15 to 19, I'm going to close with this. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. If you would stand with me, and we're gonna close with a song, but I wanna kind of pray through this with you and just encourage you. Just take a moment before God. And if you would, just close your eyes and let's just talk to Him. God, You've left us here in this world that's broken, that's full of pain. And as the scripture we just read says, the days are evil. But God, You've left us in this world, not to be of this world, but to be in the middle of it. And there's something You want to do in and through every one of us. And so it's my prayer, God, that by Your Spirit, You would encourage us. By Your Spirit, You would help us, God, to live for You, to be transformed daily. To realize that the things we see, the struggles we have, Lord, will one day fade away. And we'll stand before You and give an account of what we did with the time we had on this earth. May we make the most of every opportunity, God. And I just think of this passage, do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. God, You don't want us to be controlled by anything in this world other than You. And so if there's things we need to lay at Your feet, help us to do that. And I want to encourage you with that. If there's anything that has a grip on your heart other than God, I want to encourage you to lay that at His feet. anything that controls your thoughts, your actions, other than the Spirit of God, lay that at His feet. God, thank You for inviting us to life, life to the full. Help us to not forget that every day is a gift from You. Help us to live it wisely for Your glory.